This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So says the Apostle Paul to his disciple, Timothy. It is worthy of all acceptation. It's a hyperbolic statement. Our life should be like this, brothers and sisters. We should be thinking all the time that we are sinners and Jesus Christ came to save us. And if it is worthy of all acceptation, that means that it must guide our life, that it must be an important signpost for us, that it must be in our minds at all times. This is very, very important. Most of our problems, most of the things we do, the mistakes we make, the misunderstandings we have, the anger and the mistrust and the bad feelings and all the other things are because of our pride and because we forget that we are sinners. We can see this, that when we go through a problem, we are understanding about people who have gone through the same problem. But a person who's not gone through such a problem, let's say alcoholism, a person who's had trouble drinking knows what it's like. So he has good thoughts about a person who is having trouble drinking. He doesn't just judge him outright. He understands the struggle he's going through because he knows that he was once in the same condition. Well, what applies to outward things, such obvious things as alcoholism or drug use or something of that nature, applies to anger, to jealousy, to gossip, to lustful thoughts, to laziness, to not saying our prayers, to skipping church, to whatever else. Because we should be able to understand for some or all of these things, and a dozen or a hundred more besides, what a person is going through, because we do the same stuff. So if we understand that we are sinners and Christ came to save us, He also came to save other people. This is very critical. Our prayers have this idea in them all the time. If you look carefully at our prayers, they always have a going down and then a rising up. There's always an extreme humility in our prayers about our sinfulness. Such extreme humility that many people who are not Orthodox consider our prayers to be lacking in faith or too negative or too gloomy or even, in the official parlance of today, showing poor self-esteem. No, we have the proper self-esteem. We know that we are sinners and Christ came to save us. And if we know this, then it should affect our life in every single facet. First of all, we should be like that woman who anointed the Lord. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven, and therefore she loved much. Why? Because she had so many sins that were forgiven, she was so thankful. Well, I'll tell you, we all have many sins, many, countless sins. And so we should feel like this woman, this sense of gratitude. Gratitude should power your life. It should be that engine inside of you that forces you on, that compels you to do things the right way. Not because of some idea that you have to follow this rule or that rule, but because inside of you is a sense of such thanksgiving to God that He has helped you and that you are a sinner even to this day and yet He does not abandon you. Should spur you on to be kind to others, to pray for others, to humble yourself when someone slanders you, and all the rest. In fact, if you do not have this idea firmly implanted in you, that you are a sinner and God has forgiven you and will continue to forgive you even though you continue to sin, of course, with repentance, If you do not have this idea that is just possessing you, then when someone comes to you and says something evil to you, most likely you will react just like anybody in the world. This is a buffer, is like a wall about us that keeps us safe. This knowledge that Jesus Christ came to save sinners and we are the chief. I'm only beginning to understand this just a little. So it was a hard concept when I was first Orthodox, the idea I'm the chief of sinners. Well, there are people that are mass murderers. I mean, I'm not a mass murderer. I do many terrible things, but I'm not a mass murderer. But truly, a remarkable thing happens in the soul of the Christian. He begins to really and truly believe, not by forcing himself by some sort of mind game, but really believe that he is the chief of sinners, but also feel the great love of God washing over him. Like the publican. In a short while, we are going to read about the publican, who went into the temple and said, "Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner." He was standing afar off, not even close in to the temple, just at the outskirts of it. And begging the Lord to forgive him because of his sins. And the Lord said in this parable that he went away justified. We will be justified too. And by the way, justified means to become righteous. Not to be declared righteous, to become righteous. So, we can become righteous only if we understand what St. Paul is saying here, that we are unrighteous, that we are sinners and the chief among them. So if we have this idea, it really is not an idea. It is the, it should be the essence of our of the way we live. Ideas are things that you have to think about. This shouldn't be something you think about. This is something that should define who you are, that you know you are a sinner. Remember the story of David when he was going somewhere and he was being cursed by someone, and one of his soldiers said, "I pray thee, let me cut his head off." David said no, because he was cursing him about his sin with Uriah and Bathsheba. And David felt the prick of conscience and did not kill the man. In fact, was happy that the man had cursed him. So should we be when people curse us, whether it be with their lips or by the way they act towards us. Really, the majority of our sins are based upon what we do with people. And if we have a sense like David did, like the publican did, like the woman who anointed our Lord's feet did, then we would not sin. Because if we are sure that we are sinners, paradoxically, we would not sin. The more sure you are that you are a sinner whom Christ has saved and you are the chief among the sinners, the less you will sin. This is the great golden nugget of Christianity. And you'll see in our prayers over and over that this idea is present. That we are the chief of sinners and yet God has saved us. You must develop in yourself this essential way of life. Now you can do it by repeating it to yourself. That won't work very well. That's not very efficient. The way you really do it is by humbling yourself and by loving people that don't love you, and by being kind to people that are not kind to you, and by lending to people that won't give back to you, and by not slandering when you're slandered, and not judging when you're judged, and not gossiping when you're gossiped about. That's how you obtain this idea. That's how you obtain true humility. Repeating it to yourself that you're the chief of sinners, really that's sort of just a mind game. It has to be in the way you live that you show that you're a sinner. Just like David did when he was cursed. Feeling the weight of his sins, he did not dare hurt the man. In fact, he commented that this man had a right to speak what he was saying. So should it be with us. And if we live in this way, this is the only way that you can obtain real peace. Because if you're honest with yourself and you look in the mirror, you'll see that your soul is full of all kinds of stuff. It's very dirty. A lot of darkness in there. A lot of coldness in there. Things that shouldn't be there. And also things that should be there that are not. Or they are just a little bit there. Maybe a little bit of prayer. A little bit of concern for others. But not enough. We have to be honest with each other. It's not enough. The Lord gave us the model. In fact, just a little bit after this, Paul talks about this model. He says that in me first Christ might show forth all long suffering as a pattern to them which hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. Where did St. Paul get the pattern that he would give to others? From the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. From His pattern, from His example for us. So if we think we love much, let us look at how much our Lord loved, and we see that we don't love enough. If we think that we are humble, let us look at the extreme humility of our Lord, and we know that we're not humble enough. If we see that we pray, and we say, well, you know, I'm praying more and more lately, I'm not doing too badly, then let us look at how our Lord would go off into a mountain alone and pray all night long. He is the example. And much more besides, such as when He turned the other cheek when it was slapped, when He did not give any railing accusations, when He was accused, when on the cross He said, forgive them for they know not what they do. These things He gave us as an example. Now these things came out of His soul because it was pure and holy. And they will come out of our soul if we are pure and holy. But in order for the purity to come into our soul, the impurity has to leave. And that is the deadly pride that is within it, that blinds us to who we really are. And with this blindness, we make terrible decisions, judging others in ways that are not remotely true, and yet we are convinced of it. Feeling anger about situations when we are completely wrong about our assessment of the situation because of our blindness. However, the one who says to himself firmly and with conviction and with all acceptation that he is the chief of sinners does not fall into these things. The humble are not afflicted by jealousy and anger and all these other hot emotions that we have in relating to other people. They're peaceful and calm. Oh, they might be persecuted and they might suffer, whether it be physically or economically or any other way. And sure, of course, that's unpleasant to them. After all, we're all human. Nobody likes to suffer. I mean, that's an affliction to actually enjoy suffering. That's a mental illness. But to suffer for the sake of Christ, that is the way to purity and the way to peace. And right at the bottom of this, the beginning of this, the first step of the ladder, shall we say, is to believe that we are sinners, the chief among them. And if we have this idea firmly implanted in us, then we will not fail. Because God will give us wisdom. Because God gives grace to the humble, not to the proud. He resists the proud. Why is it that so much is hard for us, even when we try to pray? You ever wondered that? You get a start to pray. Maybe you pray 3 days in a row in the morning, and then there go 4 days that you don't pray. Or you forget to pray at night. Or prayer is very wooden and difficult for you. Or you start to say the prayers and they're just boring. And you just either work your way through them or forget about it because it's just too difficult. Why is that? That is a good and holy thing. Why wouldn't the Lord assist us in that? Well, He's trying to. But He will not give us the grace necessary to be able to complete our prayer and to pray with a sense that gives us peace and a sense of warmth inside us unless we humble ourselves. That's why you can't pray well, brothers and sisters. That's why you continue to have thoughts maybe about a person that really bothers you and you just can't get them out of your head. That's why you continue to be lazy or continue to have trouble with lustful thoughts or continue to be jealous and desire material things and all the rest. Because God resists the proud. But if we're humble, He helps us. The key to this humility is understanding that we are the chief among sinners. But with this understanding comes the greatest confidence a man can have. Because God will give you this confidence, just like He did to the publican. Just like He did to the woman who anointed Him. Just like He did to Peter. Remember Peter? Who even though he had denied the Lord 3 times, when the Lord told them to go fishing after His resurrection, and they caught so many fish, that Peter, knowing it was the Lord, was not afraid. In fact, wanted to get to Him as quickly as possible. And so he swam to shore. 3 years earlier when this occurred, Peter said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man." But over the course of time, even though Peter had committed his greatest sin just 3 days previously, God gave him confidence because Peter deeply felt his sin and deeply felt his unworthiness. And He gave him confidence. That's why he jumped out of the boat and swam to Him. It's a wonderful picture of what true repentance can do to a man. Peter never forgot that he denied the Lord. But he had confidence that the Lord would help him because the Lord gave him grace because of his humility. May God help us to have this kind of humility. You really can't go through life and without it. You can't have anything productive in your life as a Christian. And I'm not talking about anything like building bridges or designing stuff or being good at music. All that stuff is going away. The only thing that matters about what you're productive at is, are you becoming holy? And the paradoxical way to become holy is to know that you're not holy with all of your heart and with all acceptation. May God grant us to have this kind of humility. Amen.